I may completely disagree with what you say, but I will defend to my death the right for you to say it. I mean, that's what we should be saying as vegans, for sure, or as anyone, as citizens. I may not agree with what you're saying, but I defend to the death your right to say it.
Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring interviews, music, news, and events on the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a world of egalitarianism, sustainability, peace, and health for all. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station nor its management. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. We're very fortunate to be joined by Dr. Will Tuttle, author of The World Peace Diet, Eating for Spiritual Health and Social Harmony, and other books as well, and training sessions and much more. A true leader in the vegan movement of justice and peace and egalitarianism, health, and sustainability. Joining us via Skype in Northern California.
Hello.
I am very grateful to be speaking with you today.
Thank you. Me too. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to some more insight and understanding to the chaos and the dis-ease
right.
that's going on in the division. Let's focus on the vegan community.
Great. Thank you so much, Marlene. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
This week, I had an experience that has really shook me right to the core, and it was that I viewed a conference, an online conference, a farmed animal conference, and one of the talks, they were promoting the deplatforming of vegans, those who express a contrarian viewpoint. Contrarian opinions to what might be expressed in mainstream narrative. So let's start with that. What's happening? And I understand that it's not just the vegan community, that this is the across the board happening to families and groups and organizations everywhere.
Right. Well, I think what we're seeing, of course, is a huge amount of fear that's being generated around whether or not someone chooses to get a shot or not, and how we navigate this, the narrative that we're seeing being rolled out by the administration and by the mainstream media and by the big pharma and the CDC and the World Health Organization and so forth. So that's really, I think, the core of what we're seeing happening. And what you were referring to earlier, I think, is this idea that conspiracy theorists, people who are questioning the official narrative, are referred to as conspiracy theorists, and that's considered a bad thing. And so it's kind of interesting, because in many ways what we're aware of, I think, in general, is that we have a society where there's certain things are happening. There's exploitation of human beings and of resources, of animals, and that's all really promoted by interests that are vested in things continuing in a certain way, that people keep eating animal-based foods, that people, if they get sick from that or from anything, really, that they don't take responsibility for their own health, really, but they quickly run to the doctor and get a drug for that, and basically give away their power to these corporations and to technocrats who are getting more and more powerful in our society in terms of their ability to track us and to tell us what we should be doing. And so we're seeing, I think, this a rapid uptick in the tempo of change that's being enforced just in the last year, and especially in the last few months. And so veganism as a movement has always been about questioning the official narrative in our society. That's the heart and soul of what I think any movement for liberation, for peace, for freedom actually is, because at a very deep level, I think we all know in our bones that we live in a society that has an enormous amount of sort of structural violence in it. We have a huge military budget. We're at war a lot. There's a lot of injustice and inequality. There's a lot of suffering, of course, that animals endure and marginalized people endure. And so anyone who's interested in making a more loving and sustainable and just world is going to be questioning the official narratives that are basically propagated by the mainstream media, which is also owned and controlled by the same interests that are profiting from the violence and injustice and the war and conflict and disease. I mean, there's a lot of money in disease, for sure, and a lot of money in war and a lot of money in environmental devastation. So there's a lot of profit to be made. And the main thing that gets in the way of that is when people take responsibility for their own health and don't get sick that much, and when people refuse to fund or go to or participate in war or environmental devastation. They start growing their own food and buying products that are organic and that don't require the pollution of water and air, and you know, do their best to create alternatives for that. So that's all going against the narrative that is being rolled out here. And it's especially strong now with this fear of disease that we see everywhere. And this is taking, I think, a terrible toll on people's psyches and on people's relationships and interrelationships. And so we see it happening even within the vegan movement. And it's, to me, it's kind of surprising and disappointing. And I would say, like you said, shocking to see that in a movement like veganism, where there's this underlying foundation that we for sure don't trust the big pharmaceutical and chemical and fast food industries, that suddenly there are most of the prominent leaders of the vegan movement are coming out and criticizing anyone who questions the pharmaceutical chemical narrative that is in many ways being forced upon us in a way that is becoming more and more coercive. We're seeing this coercion happening in places. I just saw today that Bill de Blasio announced that in New York City, he said, you can't do anything. You won't be able to live in this city if you don't have one of the new vaccine passports that they're rolling out and have any kind of a decent quality of life, because you will be barred from the gyms, from the restaurants, from the barbershops and hair salons, from any public gatherings, anything at all, pretty much, you will not be allowed in. So you know, this idea that he was saying, we want to convince everybody that it's really important to have this shot, but this isn't convincing. This is this is an irrational discussion and talking about the pros and the cons. This is blatant coercion and fear and threats, essentially. So what you were shocked about, I think, is really symptomatic of the situation where we have a pretty, you know, small, powerful elite that's inflicting an agenda on the entire population. And it's even the people very often that we would think would be savvy and have enough street smarts to know what's happening. It wouldn't be gullible and just go along, you know, with whatever the fast food industries and the big pharmaceutical industries and these governmental agencies would say, you know, that they would lead the way and help us to keep our constitutional rights, our freedom of speech, our freedom of assembly, our freedom of religion. And yet, again, disappointingly, many of these leaders in the vegan movement are coming out and calling anyone who questions Big Pharma's narrative as conspiracy theorists. And like you say, advocating that if any vegan posts something on social media that questions the existing narrative, that that they should report that. You know, they should report their fellow vegan to the Facebook or people or whoever it is, and that we should rejoice. Basically, he was saying we should be really happy when people who are spreading misinformation are deplatformed. You know, so for vegans to wish that other vegans be deplatformed, people who are spreading vegan messages, that we would want each other to be deplatformed seems, you know, I never thought that would happen in my lifetime, really. I mean, that's like really so shocking to me. And yet this is what we're seeing happening. So this is the kind of fear that's taking root. And I think what this is, essentially, this idea that there's truth, and that's one of the things that this person was saying, that we have truth, and truth is determined by the authorities, right? Truth is determined by the authorities, by the experts, by the technocrats, by sort of this consensus of science. You know, I used to teach college courses in epistemology, which is basically the branch of philosophy that studies how do you know what you say is true or what you think is true is actually true. And for me, to hear someone say that truth comes from authorities is, that's like, you know, if anyone in my class said ever, no one ever would ever dare to say that. I mean, that's such an absurd statement because, you know, we can't ever trust outside authorities for truth. And I think this is something that we understand intuitively, especially when we have an axe to grind or an agenda to roll out. And, so the whole foundation for any kind of social progress and harmony is to have a dialectic, to have a dialogue, to have give and take, to be able to have everyone can share their opinions. I love what Voltaire said. I mean, that's the basic fundamental truth. Voltaire is famous for this saying, which is really the foundation of our democracy. And he said, I may completely disagree with what you say, but I will defend to my death the right for you to say it. I mean, that's what we should be saying as vegans, for sure, or as anyone, as citizens. I may not agree with what you're saying, but I defend to the death your right to say it. And I think that basic idea that we have enough basic sanity and enough sense to know if someone is saying something that's poppycock, then that's okay. They can say they're poppycock, you know, they can say they're hogwash, whatever it is, you know, and we're not going to force them to be quiet. And the fact, quite honestly, that it is the big pharmaceutical narrative that is being defended from anyone questioning it, that's a dead giveaway that it does not have the truth. Because, I mean, from the point of view of history, if you look back on all the times when there's been censorship, it's always been the truth that's been censored. It's never been falsehoods that have been censored. It's been the falsehoods that have been held up to be protected from any logical, rational, or scrutiny from deeper wisdom. And so what we're seeing here is really obvious, I think, to anyone who can look beyond just the most shallow view of things, that we have a narrative that is full of misinformation and disinformation that cannot stand the light of scrutiny and public dialogue. And so people are being deplatformed, people are being reported, people are being suppressed as never in my lifetime, and I think probably never in the history of the United States. Has anything like this ever happened?
We're listening to Dr. Will Tuttle via Skype in Northern California. You tune into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena Massachusetts, at WCUW 91.3 FM, Worcester Community Radio, online at WCUW.org.
Hi, this is Matt. Listen to Wormtown Ska every Thursday night, Friday morning from 12 to 2 a.m., where you'll hear a variety of ska from traditional to punk. Lace your boots up and skank it on.
Hi, this is David Gold, inviting you to join me for The Street Party, 2 hours of Afro-pop music, heard every Friday from 2 to 4 p.m. here at WCUW 91.3 FM. African music, the greatest music you've probably never heard before. Check it out. Hey!
Thank you for your support of Community Radio, and thank you for tuning in to Vegan Nation. Let's continue our conversation with Dr. Tuttle.
People are being deplatformed, people are being reported, people are being suppressed as never in my lifetime, and I think probably never in the history of the United States has anything like this ever happened. And it's being done by the very people that we would think would know better. And the irony, I have to say, is that this morning, I have a colleague who has a podcast, and it's a vegan podcast, and she interviews vegan people, and she interviewed a prominent vegan woman who's quite well known and quite outspoken, who also, ironically, is very much in favor of the official narrative about the injections and so forth. As a vegan, she's not questioning that at all, but she's quite outspoken as a vegan and says that, you know, there's no, that when we harm animals, that's immoral, which of course I agree with. But she said that, you know, they did the interview, they put it up on YouTube, and YouTube took it down a few days later. It was violated community standards. Just the basic message that the abuse of animals is unethical was taken down by YouTube. It was censored. And so this, to me, is exactly what we're talking about, the boomerang effect, and one aspect of the boomerang effect. So if we have vegans saying, well, we should ban anyone who questions the official narrative about Big Pharma and the shots and all that, and then the next thing you know, that the same vegans, basically, who are in favor of the shots and think other vegans should be banned for talking about it, they're getting banned for talking about veganism. So that's the point, is we need to defend free speech for everyone, even those we disagree with. And if we don't, we're going to lose it ourselves. And we see that happening right before our very eyes right now. And that's true for everyone. I think this is not just a vegan problem. This is true for everyone and across the board in our society, that we cannot have a society where peace and freedom and justice and equality are possible if we don't have the ability to express ourselves, and then also if we don't actually take seriously our routine abuse of animals. Because what we're seeing happening is exactly what we do to animals. I mean, we steal everything from them. We steal their purposes, we steal obviously all their freedom. We separate their families. We see that happening. These animals are all injected without informed consent, right? They don't ever ask them if they consent to having antibiotics injected into their bodies or mixed into their feed or other things done to their bodies. They have no rights. And so I think what we're seeing here is the playing out of what I've been talking about for many years, which is the ancient, probably the greatest wisdom in all world religions, as whatever you sow, so shall you reap. And the other part that goes with it is love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. To love your neighbor. And we're all each other's neighbors. Love each other. Love human beings. Love animals. Love this beautiful earth as we would love ourselves. You know, really take care of the underlying quality of our relationships with each other, and realize that everything that we have in law, the Nuremberg codes and the Constitution, that, you know, all of that is based on these deep fundamental truths that we're interconnected, and that no one has the right to force toxic things onto other people or to steal from them or to harm them, because that's not what we would want to done to ourselves. And if we allow that to happen and we start to do that to each other, it's a downward spiral that only feeds on itself, unfortunately. So I think right now we're in a really critical time where we are called to absolutely awaken out of this cultural trance that's leading us deeper into delusion. And the most important thing I think still we can ever do is to stop eating animal foods, stop taking out our wallets and paying for products that are researched on animals, that are tested on animals, with animal products in them, clothes and food and products and medicines. I mean, I personally, that's a major thing for me. I've never taken any kind of pill or medication in the last over 50 years that was ever tested on an animal. And I think, or had any animal ingredients. And I think it's great to be able to have an ethical foundation where we really take responsibility for our health and you know, 24 hours a day. I mean, to really, to do that, to be mindful of the quality of our health. And our health is dependent on many things. It's dependent on the quality of our food, on the quality of our consciousness, on the quality of our relationships, on the quality of our exercise and our sleep. I mean, we each one of us can do the best we can to show up in this world and to be a good example of health for ourselves and for our family and friends, and encourage them also to eat organic, whole, plant-based foods, to make sure we get time in nature, to make sure that we are loving and kind in our relationships. I mean, one of the things that makes people really sick, and we see this happening in this pandemic situation, is fear and criticism and judgment and blame and shame and disconnectedness and feeling left out and all these things. I mean, it's almost like there's a coordinated attack to keep people separate from each other. And that kind of stress is well understood. It's been understood for decades that creates all kinds of hormone changes in our bodies that are harmful to us, that it increases the risk of cancer, of nervous system diseases, of autoimmune diseases of various kinds. It disrupts the microbiome. You know, our emotions and our body are intimately connected. And that's something I think that's, you know, I've always said we have to be aware of that we do that to animals. You know, we force these poor animals to live in the same situation, or they're stressed out, they're overcrowded, they're separated, they're all lone units of production in a heartless system. Psychologically, these poor animals are completely stressed out. So when we're eating them, we're eating their fear, their anxiety, their depression, their insomnia, their misery. We're causing it by paying for it, and then we turn around and we eat it. So how can we really expect that we ourselves would be worthy of living in a society where everybody is healthy when we're causing disease and misery on a massive scale to billions of other living beings whose interests are to them as important as our interests are to us? You know, so what we're seeing is a logical extension, and I would say not just logical, but inevitable outcome of our routine mistreatment of animals for food and other products. And we see it playing out across the board in virtually every aspect of society. So again, it's a wonderful wake-up call we're getting from the world around us to liberate animals, to liberate ourselves, and to stop allowing ourselves to be treated as livestock. If we treat other animals as livestock, animals are not livestock. All animals are free, living, beautiful beings that for millions of years have celebrated their lives in nature. And we have violently stolen them out of nature and brought them into our own imprisonment. And so when we do that and we turn them into livestock, we become livestock, right? And the people, and this is very well understood, that the super wealthy elite, they look at the masses of humanity as livestock, right? They look at us as livestock. So we shouldn't feel that we're being put upon if we're still eating animal foods. I mean, what right do I have if I'm eating meat, dairy, or eggs to say, well, I deserve to be free and I deserve to have rights? Why do I deserve to have rights if I keep unnecessarily stealing and destroying the rights of other beings every day? I mean, that doesn't make sense. And so I think now it's really in our face. And if we really say that we're in favor of being a person who wants to know the truth, that's the basic truth. That's the obvious truth. The truth is that we're eating and causing unnecessary violence and that it's harming others. And for sure, it's going to come back to us in one way or another. So even if we don't care about these animals, which obviously I think we do at a deep level, but even if we only care about ourselves, that's reason enough to abandon eating animal foods, because that's the source of so much of our own disease and misery. I better stop there, I think.
I hear you. Yes. And speaking of the boomerang effect, I see it happening with exploitation. And so those vibrations, those energies that boomerang back of what we do to the animals, which is the oppression, the slavery, the exploitation, the violence, and the misogyny. And I like how you always bring that up too, that it's really violation of females and female reproductive systems, female reproductive powers, whether it's in the flesh industry, the egg industry, or the dairy industry. And so the boomerang effect I see happening is the exploitation, where now humans are being tracked and monitored and traced, like we do to all the animals, whether it's the animals enslaved in the laboratories or the animals enslaved in farms. And then also now all our data is being farmed by the elite and by the technocrats for their profit, for their use.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly right. It's these animals are reduced to being mere consumable products, to being commodities. And again, we've done this for 10,000 years. We started herding animals back in Iraq 10,000 years ago, and gradually it's been gaining momentum. It's been gradually permeating ever more increasing way. Every aspect of every institution in our society have been molded by the mentality of animal agriculture, of domination and exploitation of the weak by the strong. And as you say, animal agriculture requires not just imprisonment of animals and the killing of animals, but the impregnation of the animals, the breeding of them. So it's the female animals that are most abused, severely abused, over and over again, being impregnated against their will. And when they give birth to a baby, that's their baby, right? In their mind, that's my baby. They want nothing more than to love and nurture and to protect that baby. But no. On any animal agriculture operation, large or small, we should not say, oh, this is only on factory farms. This is on any animal agriculture operation. That's not your baby. I own you. I own your baby. I'm going to steal your baby, kill your baby, and I'm going to impregnate you again and steal your baby again and kill your baby again and exploit, and then kill you. So it's an exploitation of the sacred feminine more than anything. And I just saw a video, I think, online just 2 days ago where a woman is in the hospital, and she's being told that as soon as her baby comes out of her, they're going to give the baby a shot. And she's saying, no, I don't want that. That's my baby. I don't want that to happen. And the nurse said to her, as long as the baby is inside your abdomen, it's your property. But as soon as it comes out of you, then it no longer, now it's our property. They said that. This hospital, it's like exactly what happens on the dairy. I mean, it's playing out everywhere. We're being told more and more that our children are not our children, and we're told that we as parents were not able to protect them from the governmental agencies, that they have the power. And so this is if we don't have massive warning bells ringing about these things happening to show us.
We're listening to Dr. Will Tuttle. Please join us again next week for part two. I'd like to thank all the listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. Please join us again next week at the same time. This is Marlene wishing you a good day.